Well, I am so happy to report we had a great vacation Bible school this week, and thank all of you who worked so hard to make it happen, who were here every night, and we appreciate that so very much. We are always focused on sharing the gospel with the students, and I'm delighted to tell you that 14 students this week indicated decisions for Christ, and we're very excited about that. We're gonna follow up on them. Of course, you already met one, Miss Victoria Bath, and I wish everybody was that excited to tell you that they had given their lives to Christ, like she was during the ministry moment a little earlier in the service. But we're just excited to be following up on them. So be praying for us as we do so. And if you're a parent of one of those children, they brought home a bag on the closing night. We give them, all those who made decisions get to come up, and they get a bag of just some great stuff to take home, reminders of the week, a New Testament's in there. But that's also the reminder to the parents that their students made a decision, so we can get in touch with them, and they can help follow up on their students as well. If you have your Bible with you, find again the Old Testament book of Exodus and return to chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, and hold your place there for just a moment. Find your place in Exodus 3. And just wait there for just a minute. It was a cool Saturday in November 2011. A freshman at the University of Tennessee, Derek Broadus, was settling down on the sofa in the frat house where he was a member in his first few months as a freshman at the university. He was stretching out. He had the television on. In just less than an hour, at 7 o'clock was kickoff for the Volunteers football game. So he figured he was going to sit on the sofa rather than go to the stadium. He was going to watch the game from there. And just as he got settled down, he got a phone call from the coach. He was being called up as a kicker for that game for the football team. He had tried out as a freshman, as a walk-on, he had tried out to be a kicker for the team and was rejected. But as it turned out, the starting kicker was injured earlier in the week, and the backup kicker was injured in pregame stretching. So the coach said, "Is there anybody that can kick?" And Derek's name came to mind, and they called him, and the coach said, "I'm sending a police escort to you right now. Get your stuff and get in the car." And no sooner had he hung up the phone than the police escort was there knocking on the door. He grabbed whatever he could think of. He went to the stadium. He went straight in the locker room. The trainer stretched him while he was putting on his uniform. He put on a jersey with no name on the back. He goes out on the field, and within the first three plays, executed some of the best kicks he'd ever done. In fact, for the whole game, he never missed one kick. Extra points, never missed it. 3-point, never missed it. When the game was over, all of a sudden, this guy that was called up literally from the sofa out of the blue, no name on his jersey, got the game ball and was heralded as a hero for their victory that day at the University of Tennessee. Most of us live what we would consider regular routine lives. If I can use the word, mediocre, really. We're going about our business. We're living our lives. We're comfortable. It's business as usual. We may have even tried out for some more extraordinary things in the past, and it didn't work out, and we're okay with that. We're comfortable with that. That's not the issue. The issue is, how do we respond when we get the call to something extraordinary? How do we respond when we get the call to something extraordinary? If God calls you out of the ordinary to His purposes, it's always a call to the extraordinary. The question is how you respond. As we're going to be reminded frequently in this message this morning, it's very important to understand that when God calls us out to His purpose, the next thing we do speaks volumes about what we believe, not about ourselves, but about God. When God calls us to His purpose, the next thing we do speaks volumes about what we believe about God. When we left Moses 2 weeks ago, God had just shown up to him in the burning bush. You remember this? Moses was going about business as usual, just as he had done for the last 40 years, a goat herder for his father-in-law Jethro. And on this particular day, he was herding the flock up the mountain, and he arrived on a mountain he probably had been to several times over the last 40 years. Now he's 80 years old, and he arrives up on that mountain, and the Bible says he sees a bush burning. That by itself is not unusual. In the Middle East, in the ancient Near East especially, the bushes in the desert tend to spontaneously combust. What was unusual, and is stated next, is the bush was burning, but it was not consumed by the fire. It was in perfect condition, though enveloped by the flames. And that, the Bible says, gets Moses' attention. He steps closer to the bush, and suddenly from the midst of the bush, the voice of God speaks his name, Moses, and tells Moses that he is on holy ground and issues Moses an assignment. That he is God's man to go back to Egypt to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery, into freedom. That's where we left off. Moses now has a decision to make. God has called him up out of the ordinary, called him to his purpose, called him to do something extraordinary. The question is how Moses will respond. See, Moses has an opportunity, but he also has a question. He has a decision. He has a problem. And here's his question. Here's his decision. Will I keep tending the goats and leading the flocks in Midian in the desert for my father-in-law? There's nothing wrong with that. It's a perfectly good job. And he has a good family. Everything's been going well the last 40 years. Am I going to keep that doing that and stay where I am, or am I going to answer God's call to his purpose and go with God? But there's one thing for certain. You cannot stay where you are and go with God at the same time. You can't do it. So you have to make a decision, Moses. And folks, you and I have to make this decision every time God brings us to a new place, brings us to a new call, brings us to a new purpose. We have to decide, am I going to stay where I am or am I going to go with God? Because I cannot do both. Our problem is we think we can do both. That's why so few of us actually experience the extraordinary things that God does with people who will answer his call and enter his purposes. Most of us think we've already done that simply because we showed up. We showed up for church, we showed up for a Bible study, we showed up for our devotionals. Good for you, that's great. Good for you. We also think we've done it because we aren't doing anything overtly sinful or bad. We've got good families, good jobs, basically good kids. We're treating people basically well. We're doing basically what the Bible wants us to do. But then God shows up and calls us to the extraordinary. God puts something in front of us. Will you serve here? Will you trust me for this? Will you do something you've never done before just because God wants you to do it? And you suddenly realize, I can't do what I've been doing and go with God at the same time. And God wants me to do something new. And God wants me to be a part of something great. That's Moses' dilemma now on the mountain. He's clear on this one fact. I'm not going to get to keep herding goats in Midian if I go with God to Egypt. I can't do both. As this passage unfolds, and we're going to look at it today in the next couple of weeks, the passage circulates around three questions that Moses asks God. Three questions Moses asked God. And these are questions all of us ask at those turning points, what might be called a crisis of faith, and experiencing God. Henry Blackaby calls it a crisis of faith. It's that moment when you realize, I can't stay here and go with God at the same time. I've got to make a decision. God is definitely calling me out. What am I going to do? When that time comes, we typically have three questions that we ask, and Moses asks those three questions. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at these questions. The first question, as we'll see in a moment this morning, is who am I? Because when God calls us to his purpose, we might undergo something of an identity crisis. Why me, God? Why do I have to change things? What is it you want me to do? So the first question is always, who am I? The second question that follows immediately is, who are you? If I'm going to trust God, I need to know more about you. I need to understand this. Can you give me more information, God? Who are you? And then when God answers that question, which we'll see next week for Moses, the question that always follows is, I don't think I'm good enough. Get somebody else. I don't think I'm good enough. God, get somebody else. This morning, look at this passage with me as we explore the first of these questions. As God has just issued to Moses his call, his commission. Moses, this is what I want you to do. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10, we pick up as God finishes speaking and explaining to Moses his commission and his call. And God says in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10, therefore, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh so that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses asked God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God answered, I will certainly be with you, and this will be the sign to you that I am the one who sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you will all worship God at this mountain. So Moses asked the first question, who am I? Who am I? And we're going to find, while we unpack God's answer a bit this morning, God's answer is really always the same for nearly all the questions we ask him, especially the who am I question. It's the big looming answer that helps us understand everything else God says. It's very simply this. It doesn't matter who you are. It only matters who God is. It doesn't matter who you are. When God calls you out for his purposes, it doesn't really matter who you are. It only matters who God is and that you trust him, that you respond to his call, and you decide to go with him if you want to experience the great things of God and what God has in store for you. I want to pause here just a minute and consider this particular term, because we'll be using it a lot. And that's to be called of God and to be called into God's purposes. Over generations of Christians, we've done ourselves a disservice by applying the term call to only those who are called to leadership, such as pastors and missionaries, to those who are called to vocational ministry, is what usually what we mean. But the Bible uses the term call for every believer and uses it to log in our steps and illustrate our steps as believers in Christ. For example, the Bible uses the term call for you when you get saved, when you first come to Christ and trust him as your Savior. The Bible refers to that as you answering God's call to Christ. And the Apostle Paul would later describe believers as those who are called according to God's purposes, those who God has called to Christ. And the reason for that is the Bible teaches that that's what the Holy Spirit of God is doing in the lives of unbelievers all the time, is calling them to Christ. So when you were saved, whatever age you were, that you trusted Christ as your Savior, you answered God's call, the Holy Spirit's call to trust Christ. From that point, God continues to call you to his service and to his purposes. And the Bible says that God actually has designed for you what he wants you to do as a believer, and good things he wants you to accomplish as a believer in Christ. So he is calling you to join him in those things. He is calling you to his purposes throughout the Christian life. From that point forward, it's how we respond to that call, because each call requires faith. And once we grow in Christ at this point of faith, God calls us to a greater point of faith. God calls us to the extraordinary. Because God's objective all along is for you to get to see him do great things through you and for his kingdom. So God is issuing that call to believers all the time. That's not a question of Scripture. The question is how we respond. And many of us respond to that call by reaching a particular point and deciding, this is enough. I'm staying here. In my spiritual life, this is all I'm going to do. Going to church, that's enough for me. Going to church plus one Bible study, that's enough for me. Going to church plus one Bible study plus serving on this committee, that's enough for me. God, go call somebody else to the next big thing. But believers who are tuned into what God's doing continually see God working through them, seeing God working through them as he calls them out to ministry, as he calls them out to service, as he calls them out to greater things. The same thing for a church. God is calling churches to band together as believers, unity in the body of Christ, and through that we see, and answering his call, we see God do great things. It's when we sit back and decide, no thanks, God, we've done enough. We're staying here, God, instead of going with you, is when we no longer see God do those great things. God has called out Moses. And through Moses' question, who am I, we learn something about ourselves, and we learn something about God. So let's talk for a moment about this first question we all ask. Our question is, who am I? Who am I? Moses says, who am I that I should go to Egypt and that I should lead the Israelites out of bondage? Who am I that you would call me? Behind that question are two very common perspectives that we have. Who am I often means I'm not ready. Who am I, God? I'm not ready. I didn't expect this. Maybe I could use some more training. Maybe I could use some more study. Maybe I could use some more time. It's not a good time in my life. It's not a good place in my life. Who am I, God? I'm not ready. But it also often means I'm not equipped for this, God. When God calls us out, we have this assumption that when God calls us out, we should be able to say, oh, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. But when we say that, we're saying, you know what, God, you're right. I can do that. I don't really need you. Thanks for the opportunity. I'll do this all by myself. But God calls us out so we will trust him. He wants us to see what he can do. Vacation Bible School this week was a sports theme. And at every Vacation Bible School, during the worship rallies, we watch a movie unfold. It's a little, and we see segments of it through the week. And this week's movie was about a teenager who creates a new sport that anybody can play, and the sport was called Smock It. And you'd be surprised how excited everybody was at the end and who won Smock It. You know, his team won Smock It. And we're all excited about this movie and all excited about this. In the course of talking about it, though, Evan Carroll, who was leading the sessions that evening, brought up the subject of when we are not picked for the team. Have you ever been through that? Not picked for kickball, not picked for volleyball. How it feels to be last in line, because that went along with the study that night. Have you ever had that feeling, that experience? If you haven't, don't tell the rest of us. Okay? But here's something else that comes up also. It's not so much not being picked or being picked last. It's when you don't want to be picked. It's when they're calling people out for the team and you divert your eyes. In the back of your mind, you're thinking, don't pick me, don't pick me, don't pick me, don't pick me. It's when the teacher asks a question and she's scanning the classroom and you divert your eyes and you're thinking, don't look at me, don't look at me, don't look at me, don't look at me. And she looks at you and she calls your name. And the reason you feel that way is you know I'm not ready. I'm not ready for this. I didn't expect this. I didn't train for this. I didn't prepare for this. I'm not ready. Along with the who am I question is the feeling I'm not worthy. I'm not ready because I'm not equipped, but also I'm not worthy. This is a statement of humility, and in itself is a very good statement. And it's in part what Moses means. I'm not worthy to do this. Aren't you paying attention, God? I've been out here for 40 years because I murdered a man in Egypt. I had to flee for my life, and now I've been herding goats for 40 years. I'm not worthy to be the one who goes back to Egypt and leads your people out. I'm not ready, and I'm not worthy. Notice both of those statements, and even the way Moses says them. Who am I that I should go back to Egypt, that I should lead the Israelites out? Those statements are focused on self-centeredness. It's focused on who I am, on what I can do, on what I'm able to do. It's focused on me. And every time we say to God, God, I'm not ready. I'm not equipped. Who am I to go do this? Who am I to serve in that? I need more time. I need more training. What we're really saying is, God, it's about me. I want to make sure that I shine. I want to make sure that everybody knows I'm the best. I want to make sure that no one criticizes me. Which is precisely why God says, it doesn't matter who you are. It only matters who I am. Because when God calls us out from the place we are, God knows exactly where we are. He knows we're unworthy. That's why he wants us to say yes. God wants to work through us. God wants to work through you to accomplish his great goals, to accomplish what he wants for his kingdom. In our culture, we feed off of this self-centeredness. We're told constantly, that all that matters is that we have a good self-image and good self-esteem. It's true, that matters. But when we come to Scripture, we find out that's not all that matters. And if all we focus on is how good we are, how good we do, our self-image, our self-esteem, our being equipped, our being worthy, we forget that what the Bible teaches matters most is not our self-image, but our image in Christ. That we are created in God's image. What matters more than what you think of yourself is what your Creator thinks of you. What Jesus thinks of you. And Jesus loves you and wants to use you for his greater purposes. Stop saying, I'm not ready, and start saying, I trust God. He made me, he knows me, he's calling me out. And I've never done this before, but now I get to see him work in a way I've never seen him work before. So our question, who am I, is common to all of us. But it betrays that self-centeredness that we need to let go of so we can trust God. And this is God's answer. God's answer directly to Moses is, I will be with you. I will be with you. It's God's great answer to everything in Scripture. Everybody that he calls out, God makes that same promise. God gives that same answer, I will be with you. That's the answer to everything else you need to know. I will be with you, because it doesn't matter who you are, it just matters who God is. But let's open it up in this passage, because God is helping Moses understand who he is, why it matters that God is with us. You'll remember back in verse 4, God started this discussion by reminding Moses, I know who you are. I know who you are. He arrived at the place Moses was already coming to, herding his goats, and he called Moses by name. What greater statement could God make than, I know exactly where you are, Moses, and you are the answer to other people's prayers. I've come to get you. I've known for 40 years where you are and what you're doing. So now it's time. I'm calling you out to this great thing that I want to do, God says. God knows who you are, and he knows where you are. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. So when God calls you out, you can know. You don't have to question him or think that he doesn't know what's going on in your life. God knows exactly what's going on in your life. And he knows you personally. So then second is where God says, I will be with you. I will be with you. That's all you need to know, Moses. The way we read it, the Bible says, certainly I will be with you. That English phrase translates one Hebrew word. And it's a word that means to the effect that absolutely without question, in every version of the circumstances, I will be with you. In other words, God is saying that there's not a version of this, you going back to Egypt, leading people out, and whatever comes afterward. There's not even a version you can imagine in which God says, I won't be with you. I will be with you. Absolutely. That's a foregone conclusion, Moses. You don't even have to ask anymore if God is with you. Isn't that good to know? Because often you wonder, and whatever you're going through, you wonder if God is with you. Do you know what Jesus already told you? I am with you to the end of the age. I am with you. It's an absolute promise of God. His presence never departs from those who trust him and are faithful to him. Certainly I will be with you, God says to Moses. Another area we've done ourselves a disservice as believers is the notion that when God calls us to do something, he sends us away from him to do it. So we have this image in our mind that God sits back and he says, I'm sending you over there. I want you to serve in the children's team. And I'm going to send you over there, and if you need anything, let me know. But the biblical picture is quite different. The biblical picture is that God calls us to join him in what he's already doing. He's already there. He's already working in that ministry. He's already working in your life. He's working in that area. God is calling you out to participate with him in what he is already doing. God wants you to get to see him at work and to get to be a part of what he's doing. When God calls you, he calls you to join him in the great work of God. And then last, he says to Moses, I have a promise for you. I have a promise for you. You can know I'll be with you. You can know I'll never leave you. I know who you are. And I have a promise for you. There's a sign, Moses. There's a sign that all of this is true. Now, at that moment, Moses was probably thinking, oh, good. Okay, he's going to prove to me all this is going to go great. Right now, he's going to tell me everything I want to know. But instead, what God says is the sign will happen much later. When the project's accomplished, you will see the end result. And the end result, Moses, is you're going to lead all these people out to this mountain, and you're going to stand on this mountain, and you're going to worship me. Because God says, if you trust me to go in, you can trust me to bring you out. And one day, Moses, get this in your mind, Moses, one day you're going to stand on this very mountain with the desert breeze pressing your skin. And millions of people, a whole new flock that you've led out of Egypt, rejoicing, praising God at this very mountain. But you know what, Moses? That won't happen unless you go back. We won't be out here doing that unless you go there and lead those people out. So Moses, how much do you trust me? Do you believe I know what I'm doing? Do you believe I've already been in Egypt? And do you believe I know where this mountain is, that I know what the end result is? And God is also saying, Moses, you can count on me because I want this end result too. I want this end result. I want everybody out and everybody worshiping me on this mountain. In 1787, as the story goes, Benjamin Franklin was exiting the Continental Congress as they had just ratified the Constitution. And as he came out, the story goes, there was a delegate from Maryland, a woman who was there, and she stopped him and said, Dr. Franklin, I have a question for you. Now that we are finished, are we a monarchy or a republic? And his answer was, ma'am, a republic if you can keep it. In other words, it's not what we did today that matters. It's what you do next. It's not where we are right now that matters. It's where we're going that matters. When God calls people to his service, he's always reminding us, it's not you that matters most. It's him It's God that matters most. And when God calls you to his service and calls me to his service, the next thing we do speaks volumes about what we believe about God. Do you believe? Do you trust God? Do you believe him for the future? Do you believe him for the next step? Do you believe your God knows where he's taking you and what comes after that? Do you believe your God is calling you to join him in his great work? Do you believe God knows you better than you even know yourself? And do you believe God loves you more than you could imagine? When God calls us to his purposes, the next thing we do speaks volumes about what we believe. This morning, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you simply to answer God's call in faith. Is God calling you to new ministry? Is God calling you to new service? Is God calling you to trust him with finances, with family? Is God calling you to do something different in your life that you didn't expect? But it's out there and you see it and you know it's God's call and you've been holding back and you're in the middle of that dilemma. Do I stay where I am or do I go with God? And God's calling you to go with him, to experience what he can do. Is God calling you to Christ? You've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, but you know the Spirit of God has been urging you and showing you that you need to be forgiven and you need Christ as your Savior. Some of you in this room, you've been believers 5 years, 10 years. Some of you have been believers 25, 30, maybe 50 years. Moses was 80 years old. There's no cap on God's call. The only question is whether we're going to answer and how we're going to respond. I want to challenge you this morning very simply to say yes to God. To say yes to God. Yes, I want to go with you, God. Call me out to that next thing. And maybe God's already calling you. You know it. Would you say yes to God? I'll go with you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, your word teaches us that you call us out for your purposes, for your glory, for your greatness. And God, I believe you're calling some to Christ this morning. Maybe there's one who needs Jesus as their Savior. I pray, God, today they would trust Christ as their Savior. They would answer that first call of faith to come to Christ. I pray, God, for believers, Father, who have settled down into the routine and said, no, this is good enough for me. I pray, God, we would realize that you're calling us out to greater things, and we would surrender that to you. God, maybe all we need to do this morning is to say, whatever you desire, God, that's what I'll do. Maybe there's not a clear call before us other than to serve you, other than to trust you. But, God, there are other things we need to trust you with our finances, our families, God, our jobs, our future, whatever it is, God. I pray, Father, we would answer that call. We would surrender to that call, God, knowing you have all the plans in place, all the purposes in place, and whatever we go through, God, you'll take care of us. So be with us now, Father, and I pray for each one here. As we respond to you, Father, I pray, God, we respond in faith. I pray for that one who needs to trust Christ as their Savior, that they be saved today. I pray for believers who need to rededicate their lives to Christ, recommit. Maybe we've been away from you for a while, God, and it's time to come back, to come home. I pray for believers who need to answer that call to the next thing and surrender to the call to anything that you ask us to do. Father, in this moment, may we respond to the call of Christ to honor and glorify him in our lives. And it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.